Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Colin's Last Stand, the independent, fan-supported show dedicated to our shared love of politics, history, knowledge, and free thought. Thank you for being here with me. I hope you're well. As the title of this video likely suggested to you already, this is the second part of a two-part video series about CalExit, the proposed statewide referendum to break California off from the United States in order to form an independent nation. I suppose you could watch this video without having watched the first one, but that would be a mistake. If you haven't seen the first episode, go watch it now. It's linked in the description. Don't worry, I'll wait. Okay, so now that you're caught up, you know that the first video focused on the first four of 9 points the CalExit movement has put forth as reasons why California could and should be its own independent country. This video, in turn, will focus on the other 5 points and then draw some conclusions before wrapping up. The last video had all of the background you need, so let's not waste any more time. Let's jump back in with the fifth of 9 points. This one is all about immigration, and it reads as follows. Quote, California is the most diverse state in the United States, and that is something we are proud of. This diversity is a central part of our culture and an indispensable part of our economy. As a U.S. state, our immigration system was largely designed by the 49 other states 30 years ago. This immigration system has since neglected the needs of the California economy and has hurt too many California families. Independence means California will be able to decide what immigration policies make sense for our diverse and unique population, culture, and economy, and that we'll be able to build an immigration system that is consistent with our values, end quote. Now, for as much as these 9 points get catastrophically wrong, one thing number 5 gets mostly right is that California is the epitome of a melting pot in a country that, itself, is an epitome of a melting pot. CalExit claims it's the country's most diverse state. That's not actually true in and of itself, as Hawaii is, per capita, the most diverse state. But California is a close second. And that's something to be proud of. Diversity is a strength. Of that, there can be no doubt. And while a study out of the University of Alaska shows that a portion of Anchorage, Alaska is technically the most diverse part of the country within a state, yes, Anchorage, California totes a ton of cities that rank among the country's most diverse. A detailed WalletHub study on all types of diversity, ethnic, social, class, etc., found 10 California cities in 313 cities the study examined. That includes 2 in the top 10, San Jose and Oakland, 3 more in the top 20, Sacramento, San Diego, and San Francisco, and 4 more in the top 50, Los Angeles, Long Beach, Anaheim, and Fresno. That's no joke. To Yes California's credit, California does indeed tote racial diversity at a scale and scope other American states cannot compete with. But then, like clockwork, we get back to the selfishness argument. Yes, Californians, your immigration system was indeed designed by all of the states. You're a part of a republic, not the only aspect of it. And as the House and Senate both decide matters like immigration, your duly represented officials partook in these actions. This argument is so tiring at this point. California has House representation proportional to its population, just like every other state. California's House delegation is larger than Alaska's, Delaware's, Montana's, North Dakota's, South Dakota's, Vermont's, Wyoming's, Hawaii's, Idaho's, Maine's, New Hampshire's, Rhode Island's, Nebraska's, New Mexico's, West Virginia's, Arkansas's, Iowa's, Kansas's, Mississippi's, Nevada's, and Utah's. Combined. Stop being so petulant. And let's be real. California has benefited from illegal immigration and the federal government's lax enforcement of existing immigration laws more than anyone, making the statement that Washington has, quote, neglected the needs of the California economy, end quote, laughable and absurd. Are you kidding me? One of the major, largely unspoken reasons the federal government hasn't tackled illegal immigration is because of the agriculture industry's need for cheap, illegal labor. Everyone knows that. Pew Research notes that, as of 2014, there were perhaps 2.35 million illegal immigrants only in California. That means that there are more illegal immigrants in California than there are legal residents in 15 other states, including New Hampshire, Hawaii, and Nebraska. A full 6% of California's population is therefore illegal. And what's even crazier is that California's illegal population makes up 9% of the state's workforce, an unfathomable number, considering California traditionally has a higher unemployment rate than much of the country, well above the country's average, a factoid conveniently left out of Yes California's arguments. The Daily Beast reporting makes clear how silly this particular pro-CalExit talking point is. California's illegal population makes up 38% of the agriculture industry, while California farmers say that number is actually way higher than that, perhaps 50% or more. That's in addition to 14% of the state's bustling construction industry. To say that the federal government's immigration problems have hurt California is ridiculous. For God's sake, California just got done doling out 800,000 driver's licenses to people the federal government has deemed unallowed to be here. And there are 19 sanctuary cities and entire counties in the state to boot. Yet everything seems to be functioning normally here in California. Yeah, sounds like the federal government's coming down real hard on you, California. So hard, in fact, that Central Valley farmers who supported Donald Trump for president are now afraid, according to the New York Times, that he's going to change immigration policy that will hurt them instead of help them. Next up on CalExit's hip parade of nonsense is this statement, all about the state's bounty of natural resources. Quote, certain minerals and other natural resources like coal, oil, and natural gas are being extracted from California at below market value rates by private corporations with the permission of the US government. While a small portion of the revenue is shared with us, our share has been withheld during times of sequestration. That means the US government is paying their debts with royalties collected from selling off California's natural resources. Independence means we will gain control of the 46% of California that is currently owned by the US government and its agencies. We will therefore take control of our natural resources and be the sole beneficiary of royalties collected if and when they are extracted from our lands, end quote. I'm not going to spend too much time here, because again, much of this argument focuses on abject selfishness, and there are only so many times and so many ways I can say the same thing over and over again. Yes, California has a ton of natural resources, though you shouldn't let CalExit overstate that. Does California produce a lot of crude oil? Sure, it's the fourth biggest producer of oil in the United States. Alaska produces more. North Dakota produces twice as much. Texas? Its output is more than six times California's. I don't hear those states clamoring for more independence so they can greedily extract as much money only for themselves and not to the benefit of all Americans across all state lines. Likewise, while California is a natural gas producer as claimed, it puts out almost nothing compared to many other states. It's the 15th biggest natural gas producer in the US. Arkansas and Ohio produce five times as much as California. New Mexico, West Virginia, Colorado, Louisiana, and Wyoming produce between six and eight times more than California. Oklahoma, nine times more. Pennsylvania, approaching 25 times more. Texas, nearly 40 times more. And here's the biggest mystery of all, my friends. Perhaps the biggest riddle in Yes California's entire write-up. CalExit claims California produces coal and that it's extracted at below market rates. But according to the US Energy Information Administration, California isn't a coal producer, period. The site lists 25 states that do produce coal, and California is nowhere on that list. If California does produce coal, it must be somewhere on the list below Arkansas, a state which produced 91,000 short tons of coal in 2015, 1,000 times less than West Virginia and 4,000 times less than Wyoming. SourceWatch.org notes that, quote, there are no coal mines in California, end quote, and that the state, quote, has no history of coal mining, end quote. Seems like instead of rebuffing the American government, California may want to utilize federal resources to find the coal they apparently have but aren't producing according to the US government. Or perhaps Yes California shouldn't lie to make its weak arguments sound a little better. It's shameless. The next of CalExit's 9 points has to do with the environment, something somewhat connected to the natural resources argument. Here's what it says. Quote, California is a global leader on environmental issues. However, as long as the other states continue debating whether or not climate change is real, they will continue holding up real efforts to reduce carbon emissions. The truth is, this country accounts for less than 5% of the world's population, yet consumes 1/3 of the world's paper, 1/4 of the world's oil, 27% of the aluminum, 23% of the coal, and 19% of the copper. Independence means California will be able to negotiate treaties to not only reduce the human impact on our climate, but also to help build global resource sustainability, end quote. I think it's important to be fair when you're making an argument, especially when you're winning the argument in virtually every way. That's why I'm going to give California a bit of a waiver here. No one can dispute California's leadership role in green energy initiatives, not only in the United States, but in the world. In 2015, according to the Los Angeles Times, a full quarter of California's energy came from renewable sources, double that of 2008, and with an aggressive plan to double that number by 2030. The California legislature is even considering a bill to make all California energy renewable by 2045, something that would be rife with obvious unintended consequences. But it comes from the heart, and I won't take that from California. It's also worth admitting that Californians walk the walk when it comes to energy consumption. The US Department of Energy notes that California produces 2.8% of the country's energy, ranked 11th in the country, but uses the third least amount of energy per capita of any US state, with only New York and Rhode Island using less per resident. California is ranked 4th in power generated by hydroelectric plants, a clean and effective way to produce power, and even has some dreaded nuclear power too, something so much of the country is now completely afraid of for no actual reason. I'm going to let you go on this one, Yes California. A broken clock is right twice a day. But I'll use a similar argument here I've used before, especially in my first Cal exit video. The United States may use a quarter of the world's oil, but you're not exactly immune to that. California is the third biggest oil refining state in the United States, with a couple million barrels a day coming from all 18 of the state's refineries. California uses coal to get about 1% of the state's power, but as we already noted, it doesn't actually produce any of it. And apart from the fact that California has been a major contributor to the American carbon footprint CalExit complains so deeply about, it's not as if the United States is alone in polluting, or that pulling out of the United States will suddenly make the problem better. While the United States per capita emissions are huge, there are other major overall polluters to be concerned about. China is the world's single greatest carbon dioxide emitting country. Russia, India, Japan, and Germany are also major polluters. Will they suddenly be scared of polluting when California secedes from the United States? Or can we all just admit how stupid the entire notion is? Next up on the list is health and medicine, which says the following, quote, "The Affordable Care Act was enacted by the US government to lower the cost of healthcare and expand health insurance coverage to the uninsured. Yet millions of Californians still lack access to quality healthcare because they can't afford it. For many, access to hospitals and medicine is a life or death issue. Independence means we can fund the healthcare programs we want and ensure everyone has access to the medicines they need because our taxes will no longer be subsidizing other states. Finally, California can join the rest of the industrialized world in guaranteeing healthcare as a universal right for all of our people," end quote. Yet again, this is an example of CalExit seeming to pretend that it's not an active participant of the system as it stands now, especially because the state has the biggest population of any of the 50 states. WalletHub's study finds that California's healthcare system ranks 26th overall in the United States. California's poor affordability, according to the study, is a major statistical contributor to its overall placement in the middle of the state pack. And it's only going to get worse. The Los Angeles Times reports that Obamacare rates in California will have increased a full 13% this year, which is three times the last 2 years' annual increases. The affordability issue is getting worse across the United States, and California isn't immune. Indeed, with California's statewide reliance on Democratic politics, one could easily point the finger at California's two senators and a majority of its House delegation, who are enthusiastic proponents of the very Obamacare system that's now crushing Americans across the country. Unlike California, though, I don't see the other states blaming everyone but themselves. Career Trends notes that California, known for its expensive living standards and high taxes, is also made more expensive by healthcare costs. USA Today also reports that California's healthcare costs trend above the average and contribute to California's overall notorious cost of living. But all of this once again goes beyond mere dollars and cents of the situation, the mere statistical analysis of whatever Yes California is attempting to throw out there. The movement claims that, quote, "millions of Californians still lack access to quality healthcare because they can't afford it," end quote, and that, quote, "for many, access to hospitals and medicine is a life or death issue," end quote. That's true for all Americans, Yes California, not just the greedy and self-centered among you, who yet again pretend that these problems only befall you and not everyone else in our vast country. The uninsured aren't exclusive to California. The people who can't afford decent healthcare aren't exclusively California residents. And enough with the subsidizing argument. As I proved in the last video, the donor state nonsense some Californians like to drone on about is vastly overstated. The ideal of universal healthcare that CalExit supporters want to achieve is noble. But again, be careful what you ask for. I mean, just ask universal healthcare supporter number one, Bernie Sanders, how well single-payer healthcare did in Vermont. Spoilers, it was a complete failure. I'd love to see what California's single-payer experiment would look like and how quickly it would buckle under its own weight, with a population 63 times bigger than Vermont's. That has success written all over it, especially with California's amazing track record of fiscal responsibility. That's a joke, by the way. George Mason University's Mercatus Center ranks California 44th out of the 50 states in fiscal condition, placing it well below average in cash solvency, long-run solvency, and trust fund solvency. Sounds like a utopian paradise as ready as ever for universal healthcare. We're almost done. The ninth of the 9 points the CalExit stakes its movement on is titled Education, and here's what it says. Quote, "California has some of the best universities, but in various ways our schools are among the worst in the country. Not only does this deprive our children of the education they deserve, but it also costs taxpayers billions in social services and law enforcement expenses linked to lacking opportunities resulting from poor education. Independence means we will be able to fully fund public education, rebuild and modernize public schools, and pay public school teachers the salaries they deserve. On top of that, independence means freedom from federal education policies and one-size-fits-all standards set by political appointees on the other side of the continent," end quote. This might be the most unintentionally honest of the 9 points, because it doesn't only admit that California's schools are well below average compared to the rest of the United States, but that California's broken education system is hurting its kids. I appreciate how forthcoming Yes California is here. They don't even attempt to blame the federal government for its problems in this regard, which is a nice change of pace, but it also makes one wonder why this is even on the list at all. Education is focused on state and local jurisdictions across the country. The federal government doesn't dictate an incredible amount to public schools. If California's schools are failing, and they are, then that's on California, not on the United States. Still, I'm not going to pick on California here, just as I opted not to pick on the state when it came to the environment. Plus, whatever statistics I could find about the health of California schools were surprisingly contradictory. For instance, U.S. News & World Report ranks California schools, particularly its high schools, third in the entire nation. But WalletHub ranks California's overall school system 40th in the United States, with individual quality and safety rankings both placing California in the 30s. Still, with the likes of Stanford, Berkeley, USC, and UCLA, among others, no one can dispute California's excellent collegiate system of both private and public institutions of higher learning. As you can see, Yes California's arguments for secession are weak. As I noted in the first video, this plan really has no actual chance of passing, so in a way, discussing it is moot. Still, for a movement that's been built on such a flimsy foundation, it's getting a lot of attention both within California and nationally, and even internationally. So it's worth not taking everything proponents say at face value, and instead challenge what they're contending. Because secession is a serious topic. And just like the Confederate traitors, those who support California's secession do so with their own self-interest in mind, without a care for who else is injured in the process. If you remove the thick facade of selfishness from the argument, there's virtually no argument left. You wouldn't know that from the reading all the rah-rah think pieces and watching the nonsensical videos that talk about how great it would be for California and how terrible it would be for the United States. Well, I guess that's why I'm here. Thank you so much for watching this video, as well as the first CalExit video I created. I really do appreciate your time. Before you go, be sure to check out the bibliography and reading list in the description if you want to investigate more about CalExit and the Yes California movement. And until we meet again for another episode of Colin's Last Stand, please keep the feedback coming. Be good to each other in the comments, and above all else, keep on learning.